This is CX of M Radio, the voice of customer experience professionals.
Hello, and welcome to another World of UX podcast. This is your host, Darren Hood. Thanks for taking the time to join us on today. A special welcome to those of you who are joining us for the first time. Welcome. This is episode number 199. Isn't that something? We've been doing this for a bit now. We're coming up on another anniversary. We're excited to talk to the UX community at large, and we are working to bring something to you that will bring value to and boost your progress in the discipline of user experience. Today, I thought we were going to go back to the Sinister series completely, but we're really doing a little bit of another bridge topic on today. So today's session will be an interlude, if you will. I'm calling this a Sinister interlude, but specifically the topic today in this interlude is that we are paying homage to UX pioneers, some specific ones, but we're paying homage to UX pioneers. And I want to talk about something. It really is a sinister topic, but it's not part of the series. The undetected and unforeseen fallout of the attacks on Nielsen Norman Group. And somebody might be saying, wow, really? They've been getting attacked? I haven't seen it. It's interesting how social media works, because for the most part, we're going to see what we see, because either the algorithm is going to serve information up, or a person is going to subscribe to some type of a newsletter or something, and the information is there, or somebody is going to deliberately engage in going to the source, because you can go and look at somebody's page, whether it's on Twitter, whether it's LinkedIn, whether it's Facebook, whatever that social media venue is, you can go directly to a person's or an organization's page and look at their activity. For the most part, people are relying on algorithms, and algorithms are terrible. I have no idea who's designing them, but talk about a UX fail. Algorithms are awful. They do not serve up what people deem to be important. I remember the time I actually interviewed at Meta once, and at the time, they wanted you to come up with, create a project that you would want to work on if you were at the company. And I did probably the worst thing I could have done. I suggested and had for my project working on conducting research for algorithm impact with regard to how relevant the content was that was being served up to people who were on Meta. I'm figuring somebody didn't like that. And for those of you who use Meta, you know the algorithms that are at use there, they're ridiculous. I talk to people I'm connected with all the time about content, and people talk about how much they miss something they would love to have seen. So I've been doing this research anyway, and it is bad. It's bad there. It's bad on LinkedIn. These people are trying to make money. That's it. They don't care about the relevance of the content that's being served up, but that's another topic for another time. There are a lot of attacks that are being levied upon Nielsen Norman Group, specifically Jacob Nielsen and Don Norman, the founders of NNG Group. There are attacks that are being levied against both of them today. I want to talk to you about something from an EQ perspective, an emotional intelligence perspective. These attacks are reality. They're things that are happening. People are saying things about them. They're directing things toward them. And in the process, people do not like engaging in critical thinking. They're very lazy. The average person is, whether we like it or not. And they hear the attacks and will just believe the attacks. They also will hear the attacks. And this is not just about Nielsen Norman Group. It's really about anybody. So you could apply what I'm about to say today to anybody. They hear the attacks. They just believe it. They believe that what's being said is true. And a lot of people, because they're not engaging in critical thinking, they will also embrace the subliminals. Some of the subliminals are passively subliminal, where people say things because they're trying to influence the people who hear it trying to influence your behavior, trying to convince you that because of what I'm saying, you should do A, B, and C. And that's not really the case. In addition, people hear what's being said, they jump to conclusions, and what you're going to hear when I'm done with all of this is that it has an unintended and unforeseen fallout, and these are the problems that I'm trying to address. So I'm going to say a whole lot of stuff, and I'm saying everything that I'm saying today to address one thing that we need to be aware of and that we need to avoid. So this is going to be an example, and in so doing, there's going to be an homage that I'm delivering in the process. I'm also going to demonstrate some critical thinking because there are some things we should be aware of with regard to what's going on today with Nielsen and Norman, but we need to do it in a way that is very ethical and very balanced. So here we go. So for those of you who don't know who Jacob Nielsen and Don Norman are, let's just look by way of some of the biographical information that's available on the interwebs. So Jacob Nielsen, this comes off of the NNG site. Jacob Nielsen is a usability pioneer who began his work in 1983. He is a principal of NNG, or Nielsen Norman Group. He co-founded it with Don Norman, who was formerly a VP of research at Apple Computer, for those of you who didn't know that. Nielsen established what's referred to as the discount usability engineering movement for fast and cheap improvements of working on user interfaces. He invented several different usability methods, including heuristic evaluation. A lot of people are grounded in that. They love it. They use it. We've talked about it before. He holds 79 different U.S. patents, and most of them are focused on ways of making the internet easier to use. So this is a person that dove in what people might consider the heyday when the digital world was opening up. The internet was something that the armed forces were already using, but it was opened up to people at large in the mid-90s. He was there. It basically married what he was already doing with usability with the dot-com boom, if you will. And so he basically, with him and Don Norman, these are the fathers. These were the main people that helped to facilitate how we approached optimizing these experiences and getting involved and making them the absolute best they can be. There were others, and we'll talk about others before we're done today, but Jacob Nielsen was one of the key people who started off with this. Don Norman, his partner, is referred to as an American researcher. It's straight off Wikipedia. An American researcher, a professor, he's an author. He is currently the director of the design lab at the University of California, according to Wikipedia. I'm not sure if this has been updated or not, but I'm just sharing with you so we can understand who he is. Best known for his books on design, the design of everyday things is the one that people have probably seen and read the most. He's widely regarded for his expertise in the fields of design, usability engineering, and cognitive science. He has shaped the development of the field of cognitive systems engineering. Is a co-founder, as we already mentioned, of Nielsen Norman Group, along with Jacob Nielsen. And this is my additive, this is not listed, at least not in the initial part of the bio, on Wikipedia, he coined the phrase user experience. It actually appears in several places. It might be further down on the page, but several people mentioned this, several resources. He coined the phrase user experience, and he was the first person to have user experience in their job title while he was working at Apple. And so a lot of the tracing of UX history in this modern era traces back to him. When you look at the works of these two men, I'm going to rattle off some of their book names. You may or may not be familiar with some of these books. I highly recommend for those of you who are library aficionados and devotees, such as myself, you want to have these books in your library because good books have very long shelf lives. The content, no matter what's going on today in user experience spaces, the things that are referred to in these books are still valuable in 2024, no matter when they were written. So Jacob Nielsen, he wrote Multimedia and Hypertext, The Internet and Beyond. Some people don't even know that book existed. And there was even a book that preceded that was similar, but we're just going to start with that one. Usability Engineering, first book of his that I ever bought. Designing Web Usability. Homepage Usability. Mobile Usability. Prioritizing Web Usability. E-commerce User Experience. People don't know that that book exists. Eye Tracking Web Usability. Usability Inspection Methods. And another book that people don't know that he wrote. Someone else's name actually appears first on this book. A book entitled User Experience Careers, How to Become a UX Pro and How to Hire One. More and more people need to read that because they do not follow the best practices for hiring UX people today. But again, we don't want to go down that rabbit hole because we won't come out, I'm sure, or we'll be down there too long. Don Norman, his books, The Psychology of Everyday Things, The Design of Everyday Things, which we already mentioned, Emotional Design, Why We Love or Hate Everyday Things, The Design of Future Things, Living with Complexity, Things That Make Us Smart, Defending Human Attributes in the Age of the Machine. Another one that people don't know about, Turn Signals Are the Facial Expressions of Automobiles. Another one of those obscure books, and I'm sure there's going to be some gems in that book. I do not own that one, but that's current. I currently do not own it, but I will go and buy it. And lastly, Design for a Better World, the one he published most recently, Meaningful, Sustainable, Humanity-Centered. These are some of the written works of these authors. So we're not talking about their websites. We're not talking about their many talks that are available on YouTube and elsewhere. There's a ton of work. And for people who think writing a book is simple and it's easy, it is not. These are painstaking endeavors that takes a ton of sacrifice and a ton of work to get these things done. Something else that these people have done, mostly Nielsen, when it comes to this, is promoting and sharing the stage with other people. I've seen Don Norman share the stage with other people in talks, and the graciousness that's there is just phenomenal to see. It's wonderful to see and witness. But in particular, Nielsen, and this is important to note, and let me pause for the cause here for a moment too. Something I'm trying to illustrate by sharing all of this work is that a lot of people attack folks, but they do not take the prior work into consideration. They try to jump on somebody because of something that they seem to perceive that's happening in the moment, when you really need to look at someone's body of work, because you have to consider who the person actually is and not who somebody is trying to paint them as being. So keep that in mind. So back to this segment here. Jacob Nielsen has frequently shared the stage, the proverbial stage, with other people. He has written some books. Some of the books I already mentioned were written with co-authors. He has shared the stage and written a book with Kara Pernice. Kara is the current president and CEO of Nielsen Norman Group. She built Nielsen Norman Group's UX certification program. She also co-authored Eye Tracking Web Usability with Jacob Nielsen. Marie Tahir, the former director of strategy for NNG, and she's the co-author of the book that changed my life and my career, Homepage Usability. So these things are very near and dear to my heart. Hoa Luringer, of current VP at Nielsen Norman Group. She's worked in user experience, according to her bio, for more than 20 years. She conducts research worldwide, presents keynotes, and provides training on best practices for interface design. Very accomplished woman. Raluca Badu, and I'm probably butchering her last name. It's B-U-D-I-U. So that's the best I can do in this moment. I tried to confirm how to pronounce it. I can't. But we'll just call her Raluca for now. She is currently the Senior Director of Data Strategy at NNG, and she is the co-author of Mobile Usability. Now, one of the reasons I'm bringing this up in particular is because of some of the attacks, and I'll get into the attacks in a little bit more detail later, that are directed at Jacob Nielsen and Don Norman from a sexism perspective. These folks have opened so many doors. If you go to the Nielsen Norman Group website, nngroup.com, and you go to the About and the People segment, you will see how many people they have opened doors for. And And so there's just, you know, you might see something you did that you think is an issue, but please present your concerns in light of what they have done and are doing. It is unethical. I can't stress that enough to try to make somebody look like a bad guy while you're covering up what they've done that counters what you're trying to present. This is what a lot of people are doing. I'm getting ahead of myself. When you look at recent trends, there's new books, of course. There's a shift in leadership at NNG. If my memory serves me correctly, Carol was recently appointed to her current role there. There's also Nielsen's UX Tiger blog activity. So the new books, fine. There's always going to be books, and we got no issues with that. The shift in leadership, no problem. Glad for the promotion. Glad to see what Kara is doing. I'm connected to her personally, and we have interacted a little bit, not much, but we have interacted. And I've had nothing but good things that I've seen with regard to her and what she's done in that operation. The blog activity with Nielsen, the UX Tiger stuff, I have been on record of questioning the validity of some of that stuff. It comes across like it's written by AI. Not only does it come across like it's written by AI, some kind of AI resource, some of the things that are said in some of those blog posts don't appear to be in alignment with the voice and tone that Jacob Nielsen has provided over the years. And a lot of it seems to be extremely AI-centered. I sort of kind of don't see him as being somebody that's going to abandon everything else that's going on and just focus on AI. It sounds suspect. So that's the best I can say with that until I ever talk to him about it and find out about it firsthand. That's how I feel about it personally. But notice that the way that I'm expressing my concern is still going to be fair. And I'm not going to discredit Jacob Nielsen because of my concerns about that. And anything I've said in the past with regard to it, by no means was meant to be taken, nor should it be taken as if I'm discrediting. I'm calling those blog posts into question. And I would do that if he and I were sitting here at Starbucks having coffee. I would do that. It's an issue. And I have been within a foot of him before, and I have been there where people have been conversing with him. I have pictures with him, you know, for whatever that's worth. But shifting and looking at some of the recent attacks, some people have come at Nielsen Norman Group with regard to what they call gender discrimination. There is actually one nameless person. I'm not going to mention any of the names of the people behind some of the things I'm about to mention, but there is a person who is almost basically made themselves famous for attacking Don Norman particularly. I've never heard this person attacking Jacob Nielsen. I've heard the person attacking Don Norman. Folks, especially when a person does it and makes a name off of themselves for doing it, we talk about EQ red flags. We talk about being ethical in the way that we present any and everything. I have seen some of those posts. I have seen the person take something that Don Norman said and blow it out of proportion. I have seen the person take the things that Don Norman said, basically, and try to get him to respond in kind, which, of course, puts them on a pedestal while they're doing the attacks. There are certain politicians who engage in things like that. That's nothing more than a bunch of strife, frankly. It's really silly. And to do those things while ignoring the track record, while ignoring who the person really is, that kind of thing is inappropriate. It's unfair to Don Norman to do that. It's unfair to Nielsen Norman Group at large to do that. And people need to be careful of that, especially when the person who's levying the attacks is actually the one who's benefiting from such. I actually had somebody once to tell me that they were upset about another topic that some of us were covering. We were actually having a conversation. Some UXers, we were having a conversation, and the person brought this person up and talked about what they were doing for the discipline. That person wasn't doing anything for the discipline by calling out, supposedly calling out Don Norman. What did the discipline benefit? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. That person was benefiting and was making a name for themselves by doing what they were doing. But that person's never done anything for me, and they've never done anything for anybody else that I know. So sometimes you got to watch people who attack other folks, because really all they're doing is trying to make a name for themselves and get over themselves. We got to throw that stuff out. It's a waste. So that's one of the attacks. So that those attacks have a lot of fabricated elements associated with them. And I'm telling you, just leave that stuff alone. Throw it out. If you didn't know anything about it, then apparently you didn't benefit from it. And I know I didn't, and I know a bunch of other people, again, who they have not benefited from it. So that stuff's all fabricated. It's a straw man type of a situation, and it needs to be ignored. All straw man arguments need to be ignored. Don Norman is not guilty of doing anything that is detrimental to user experience. So let's get that off our plate, because it didn't happen. There's another attack that's been levied against the Nielsen Norman Group at large, involves what we might refer to as a Vanna White type of a element at work, where people will say, why is it that in almost all of the videos that are produced by NNG, there's always some nice-looking Anglo-Saxon female doing a presentation? This is the kind of stuff that I hear, that people are telling me, and we engage in conversations about this. And I've sort of been giving this a thought, or some thought, for a while. And it does look like what they're doing is incorrect, but after, and that it's unethical, that you're always putting these pretty females up there, but nobody else. And they were calling NNG into question about this practice. The thing about that, that after I gave it more thought and engaged in more critical thinking about it, I came to the conclusion that these people are speaking as if Don Norman and Jacob Nielsen are sitting in a room and telling people, make sure that every video has for its talking head the most beautiful person we can find, the most beautiful woman we can find. That's not what they said. Do you really think that Don Norman and Jacob Nielsen did that? Do you realize that people like Kara are making decisions about who's going to make the presentation? Have you gone to the Nielsen Norman Group page to see the roster of people they can use to appear in some of these videos? So the accusation, the more I really sat down and thought about it, I really saw that this is inappropriate. Attributing these selection activities and these directives to Norman and Nielsen and presenting them as if they're some kind of a creep or something, it's unfair, it's inaccurate, it's unethical, it's misdirected, it's not proper. This is who's in the videos. Okay, this is in the videos. How about we forget about who's in the videos and let's just digest the content? How about we do this? It's amazing the people who complain about things. And we live in a complaining society globally. People love to complain. People are highly litigious. They want to find something to sue somebody about. So they come up with stuff all the time. They cry and they bicker and they moan and anything. And a lot of times it draws attention to the people who are crying, bickering, and moaning. Why complain when the information is being presented has validity? Now, if they make a presentation and it's not valid, the focus should be on the invalid content. But if the content is sound, then the focus needs to be on the soundness of content. And let's remove personality from it, because it's really silly. And then lastly, the last attack that I know of when it comes to the more prominent attacks is that somebody recently proposed that we simply stop listening to Nielsen and Norman. And I didn't get to read the whole article. I know that's what the headline says. And I know for that to be in the headline is really... I don't see the person disrespecting Nielsen and Norman, but when I saw the headline, because I know how people tend to digest a headline and run off with it. I know that people do not engage in critical thinking. I know that people don't really engage ethically digesting or treating people the way that they should in a fair manner. And so a lot of people are going to see that headline and they're just going to run off and they're going to just, hey, you know what? We need to stop listening to Nielsen and Norman. I've told you, I didn't hear the complete presentation. I saw the headline. It's something that I call into question that's not really the type of thing we want to do. We want to be careful with how we frame presentations because of the conclusions that people will come to. And so not really a good idea. And so here's my issue. And I don't have to go and see that president. I'm going to end up seeing it, but I don't have to see that to address what I'm trying to address. I hope you understand that today. Here's my point. With all the things that I've already said, is that when people call folks like Nielsen and Norman into question, that is a proxy event. And this is where everything that I'm saying is tying into the what we're going to get into in the next segment of the Sinister series, is that there is a war against seniors today. And when I say senior, because those some of us were talking recently, then when they say senior, it's that to be a senior, you got to have X amount of experience and things of that nature. The term senior UX, when it's in a job posting, it should mean one thing. It can mean anywhere is upwards of 8, 9, or 10 different things. But when you see it in a job posting, but when you hear senior in a conversation, it's referring to two different types of things. So a senior is somebody who is more seasoned, someone who does have more experience when you're in a conversation. In job postings, it's just all over the roadmap and it's just ridiculous. But when we're talking about it, we're referring to one particular classification of UXers. People who are real UXers from a senior perspective are being displaced. We're being discarded. We're being pushed out. And so when people are indirectly inspired to come against somebody who's a senior or a pioneer, they start attacking all of us. It becomes fair game to start to attack and to discredit people who have earned credit. That's a terrible proposition today. And so we have to be careful of understanding that that's something that people consider fair game and people are in the process of and in the business of doing today. Now, are we saying that Nielsen and Norman are above scrutiny? Absolutely not. And nobody's above scrutiny. I'm not above scrutiny. Nobody's above scrutiny. So when you hear something that somebody says, each presentation, each statement should be evaluated and we should be gauging its value accordingly. We should be looking at it with our critical thinking hats on and deciding why or why not this is something that needs to be embraced. And we should have a whole ton of data and a whole ton of different resources that help us to gauge accurately whether or not something should be embraced or not. So, and again, the same thing goes for Nielsen and Norman. So if they produce something today and it's something that needs to be questioned and should be questioned, then we need to make sure that we're doing that. So keep that in mind. But should we ignore Nielsen Norman Group? No. Because if you ignore them, I mean, all those books I mentioned, all the different modes of thinking that they've presented to us, all the training that they've made available through Nielsen Norman Group, are we going to write all that off? No, we're not going to do that. And so, one moment they ignore them, the next thing you know, they're going to try to ignore, and they are already ignoring every practitioner, everybody who laid foundations and did work prior to 2011, which is when the dark ages of UX began. So really, really wild stuff. You'll fool around and ignore somebody that has a lot of great things to say, and instead of paying attention to to the things that we should be heeding. So let's not ignore the people who were practicing, the pre-2011 folks. Don't ignore us. We've got a lot to say. And if all you have is what came after 2011, a lot of what came after 2011 is nothing but the cult of UX. It's nothing but something that's being used to misrepresent and replace what we should be doing. People are already trying to throw the fundamentals of UX out. We can't do that and still excel. So keep that in mind. And then interestingly, many of the people levying attacks against Nielsen Norman Group and other pioneers and seniors in UX today are actually trying to replace them with themselves. The same people who attack want you to put them in that same, they want to knock them off a pedestal and they want to get up there. They want to knock them off of the perceived throne and then they want to take a seat. And that should be a red flag that something is terribly, terribly wrong. So trying to invalidate decorated folks, this has become popular today. And again, I've said this already, we need to stop trying to discredit the Nielsen Normans of the world and other people who are in those same types of arenas, because what people are proposing by doing that and what they want to do, what they want to, who they want to replace them with, that's a losing proposition also. So I said this was a bit of an homage. I'm going to run off a list of names. You may or may not be familiar with some of these people. I tried to fill this list as best I could. I'm going to miss some people. Nobody on this list just started doing UX prior to 2005. So I want you to be aware of that. Nielsen and Norman are at the core of today's presentation. Jonathan Earthy, I did my talk at Convey UX last week, and I was talking about his UX maturity model. And a lot of people, I queried the room. How many people know who Jonathan Earthy is? Zero hands went up. Make sure you read up on Jonathan Earthy. A lot of great things to be said and heard. Rolf Molek, who helped, he co-authored the heuristic model with Jacob Nielsen. That was something that was not just done by Nielsen. It was done with Rolf Molek, and people forget about him. Richard Saul Wurman, people ignore him or don't even know who he is. A lot of the information-oriented work that he wrote about just how to design for information and information architecture. If you don't have Richard Saul Wurman books in your library, you should get them. Jesse James Garrett, who wrote one of the first books to talk about user experience, and a lot of his work is still valid today. Get Jesse James Garrett's book. Look at his Five Planes illustration. Nathan Shedroff, who actually wrote the first book I ever purchased on experience design and is still in my hallway on a bookcase here today. This fantastic stuff. And some of the things he wrote about how he thought the discipline was going to go, just phenomenal stuff that people need to tap into. Alan Cooper, goes without saying, his About Facebooks, The Inmates Are Running the Asylum, fantastic stuff. None of this stuff has gone out of style. None of the stuff these people have written is irrelevant. It's all still critical to the discipline, but some people don't even know who they are. Peter Morville, Lou Rosenfeld, the co-authors of the Polar Bear book on information architecture, Ben Schneiderman, who wrote some of the early interaction design best practices, Bruce Tognazzini, the same. Whitney Quisenberry, Karen Rigi, Jenny Reddish, Brenda Laurel, Susan Weinschenk. These people, I know a lot of people don't know who Carol Rigi is. A lot of people don't know who Jenny Reddish is. A lot of people don't know who Whitney Quisenberry is. Look these people up. Search for them. Look at their contributions to today's discipline. Susan Weinschenk, are you kidding me? She wrote early books in the 90s that people don't even know about that are talking about user interface design. These things are critical. Christina Watke wrote one of the first books about information architecture. Carol Barnum, look these folks up. These people built the discipline that we now occupy space in. And so when you see people tearing down Nielsen Norman, they're tearing these people down too. Anyone under the sound of my voice that was doing UX before it was called UX, doing the work in the early days. You've seen it firsthand. These people will tear you down at work. I've experienced it, still experience it to this day. Got in trouble recently. You get in trouble for doing actual UX work. People don't even know what UX is. And they want to tear them down. They want to tear us down. But they still want to have UX. A lot of what people are doing at companies today is not even UX at all. Not even remotely UX. And I had a person recently talking about the whole UX UI thing. A person said that we must start using their terminology. No, we're not. We're not going to use terminology that people don't know what they're talking about. We have allowed non-experts to define who we are, what we are, and what we should be doing. And that is a crime. That is a downright crime against the discipline today, and it's ridiculous. And it's a ridiculous and insane proposal to say that we should be giving in to them and doing what they say we should be doing. Absolutely not. In closing, my recommendations, consider the works of Nielsen and Norman in particular. Consider the works of all the people I just mentioned. Immerse yourselves in their past works. Develop enough knowledge, skill, and acumen to process any newer presentations in a proper light. If you ever hear or see something that you challenge, that's okay. Just make sure you do it with integrity. Make sure you do it in a way that is fair. It's equitable. Make sure you have reasons for shooting something down, something that will stick to your cognitive ribs, so to speak. But do not at any time allow yourself to subject these people or anybody like them to erasure, especially due to your own lack of EQ, frankly, to your own personal preferences or any biases that you have. In so doing, it's not fair. I've said this a few times already. It's not fair. It's not ethical, nor is it beneficial to you, your team, your users, or to the discipline at large. Let us remember to always give homage and due respect to UX pioneers, and beware of this undetected and unforeseen fallout. It's really just empowering people and encouraging people to attack people that are similar to those pioneers and those more senior practitioners today. Let's do things the right way, and the discipline will benefit. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. So until next time, it is time to sign off. This is Darren Hood, the host of The World of UX. Happy UXing, everybody.
Thanks for joining us for this session of CX of M Radio. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show, and visit cxofm.org for more resources.